Well, I've chosen for our message and meditation this morning, words from Judges chapter 13, and I've entitled it, Parenting in Challenging Times. Not being a parent, but looking around, I realize that raising children in our world, in our day, is not an easy thing. It probably never has been easy, but we want to look at the a couple in scripture from Judges 13 that were given a precious child. They were not able to have children, and God gave them a child, and a child with a destiny, a child with a promise. And I'm sure that in their world, it was a bit of a difficult time as they sought to raise their child. So let's read from Judges chapter 13. This is the life of Samson and his announcement of his birth in Judges 13. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then, drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, 'Behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me.' And Manoah arose and went to his wife and came to the man and said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now, when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life, and what is his mission?' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'If you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask me, seeing it is wonderful? So why do you ask me my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it to the Lord, offered it on the rock. My bifocals aren't working right. Offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, for we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these.' And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanen Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." So this is the birth of Samson. The name Samson means of the sun or sunshine. And so when the parents received this son by promise, they said, this son will bring sunshine. He will bring a new joy, a light into our lives. So there was obviously a real hope that they had. And yet, we need to be reminded that, that they were living in difficult times. They were of the tribe of Dan. Dan was the first tribe that went into idolatry. We see some issues that were already here. They, for whatever reason, the tribe of Dan was kind of to the towards the Mediterranean from Jerusalem, and they were in the Philistine territory, and they were the kind of the first tribe that couldn't really conquer the land. They were getting squeezed out by the Philistines, and in the end, what the tribe of Dan decided to do and said after Samson's time, if you were to read further on in Judges, the tribe of Dan actually said, you know what, this is too hard. This land that God's given us, this inheritance that God has given us, we are going to move farther away. We're going to go to the north. It's going to be easier in northern Israel. They're not suspecting us. They're living securely. We'll go and conquer land over there. And that's what they did. But I think before they did that, God actually said, no, I can do something. I can raise up a deliverer. I can raise up someone that's going to deliver God's people and going to give them the victory so they can take the land. And so when God does something, he has unique ways. Sometimes he chooses a Moses that's there. Sometimes he chooses a Gideon. But sometimes God says, you know what? This thing has some time. I'm going to choose a child. And so God kind of combines two things. He combines a couple that wasn't able to have children, and then he takes and says, you know what, I've got a child of destiny that's going to deliver my people, and he brings them together. He brings those two things together, and he brings this child into the world that is going to be a child of destiny and promise. And so I think we need to just realize that they had significant challenges. They were living in a time under the Philistines. The Philistines, they were kind of wise. The Philistines were known for metalworking. So they developed all kinds of metal stuff and iron, working with iron and things like that. And so there was always this sense of they would go to the Philistines for help for different things, and the Philistines kind of assimilated. There was kind of this assimilation that happened that God's people weren't separated to God anymore. And with that, God says, I'm going to bring about a life of a child, and this young man will be separated to God. The scripture says that he would be a Nazarite from child. He would be from the womb. So he would be all his life, he would be a Nazarite. Now this is kind of unique. The vow of the Nazarite is in Genesis chapter 6. I'm sorry, Genesis, Numbers chapter 6. And a Nazarite was someone who made a vow and said he would be dedicated to God for a period of time. During that time, he would eat nothing that came from the grapevine, and during that time, he would not cut his hair, and during that time, he would not come near a dead body. So those were kind of the three things that a Nazarite had to do. But usually it was a set time that they would be dedicated or separated to God. And yet this child was going to be separated to God from the womb to the day of his death. So that was something unique for Samson. There are other Nazarites in scripture. Samuel was likely a Nazarite. John the Baptist was likely a Nazarite. The Apostle Paul in Acts 18 said there was a vow and he didn't cut his hair for a season, or he cut his hair in response to a vow, likely a Nazarite vow that was just for a season. And so the Nazarite is about being set apart or separated to God. If you read Numbers chapter 6, 1-8, you'd read the word separated. Separated, it happens over and over again, the idea of being separated unto God. And so that's really, when we think of dedication, we're dedicating our children and saying the world can't have them, that they are separated to God. So with that, the parents faced, I think, some significant challenges in training and in having a child that was separated to God. All around them, if you read through the book of Judges, you would have phrases that said something like this: and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it goes on and describes what that evil might be. But not only did these parents recognize that there were challenges, they also recognized they had incredible privileges. this child had been given to them as a gift from God. They had a strong desire, I think, to raise their child in a way that God directed them to do. We're not told in Scripture, did they pray for a child? Likely they did. We don't know for sure. But all of a sudden that day, the angel came and he said, God is going to give you a son. You're going to conceive, and God is going to give you a son. But with this son, there's certain things that you need to do. So they recognized those privileges that they had been given. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And I will just say this, take it from someone who was not able to have children, recognize that your child is a gift from God. I think sometimes young parents just take it for granted. Children just come alongside, and yet that is not the reality. Children are a gift from God, and receive them as that gift that God has given to you, and God will use them, obviously, in your life to shape you, I think, but also use you to shape their lives. So these parents not only recognized they had incredible privilege, they also had a responsibility. And so you see this sense of responsibility when the angel comes and Manoah's wife comes to Manoah and says, you know, this angel came, or this man from God came and told me I was going to have this child. Immediately, this man prays. What do we do? God, send that man back. We need to know how to raise this child. We need to know what to do. And so when the angel comes, Manoah says, you know, what's going to be his manner of life? What kind of destiny does he have? How do you want, what's his going to be his mission in life? Mine says, my translation says, what will be his manner of life? What will be his mission in life? And so there's a sense of responsibility in saying, okay, God, you have a plan for this child. What is that plan? And so they sense that responsibility. So yes, your child is a gift from God, but there's a huge responsibility that comes to the parents to find out what is the will of God for their child and what will be his manner of life. What will be his mission? How do we as parents shape that God-given direction that God has for their lives? And the same way God answered Manoah and his wife when they prayed that prayer, come teach us how to raise this child, God answered that prayer. And so there's this sense of responsibility that they had, but immediately it gave way to prayer. And as they prayed, God revealed his plan. Now, I want to say something about this. Having said that, it's interesting, and I think it's in verse 8, Manoah asked this question. Verse 12. It says, "And Manoah said, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life, and what is his mission?" It's interesting to me that the angel didn't say, okay, Samson is going to be a deliverer. He's going to begin to deliver the people from the Philistines. And notice the scripture says actually he will begin to do it. David in the end really, really completed the task. But God said Samson's going to begin to do something. But the angel didn't say, okay, this is what Samson's life's going to be. I want you to shape it and push him into that direction. He said, I want you to listen to everything that I said to the mother, and she was supposed to set herself apart, and says, all the words I've commanded you, if you do them, it'll all work out okay. He didn't say, okay, this child's going to do this, 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 and this in his life, and he's going to have this career and do these things. He says, all I want you to do as parents is to make sure that your life is in obedience to my commands. And when you do that, the rest of it will take place. It will be there. So the angel didn't say, do this, this, and this. And as Samson's life will unfold, he says, I want you to take care of your life. When you take care of your life, when you get your life right with God, when you trust God yourself, your child is going to be watching. Your child is going to see you. You trust God in every situation. And as you do that, his life will be okay. His life will, God will work in his life in a way that will be honoring and pleasing to you. I use this every time in baby dedication, but I'll use it again because I think it's so profound. The story is about Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5. And all it says that Enoch was 65 years old and he begat Methuselah. And it says, after Enoch begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Now, it doesn't say how he walked before those 65 years, but there's something significant that the writer of Genesis records there and says that Enoch, all of a sudden, at age 65, gets this son Methuselah, and something goes on in his head and says, this little boy is watching everything I do. This little boy is repeating everything I say. This little boy is going to, his life is going to be shaped by my life. And so Enoch makes a choice. He makes a decision and says, I need to walk with God. And Enoch took that responsibility so seriously that he actually never died. He walked right into heaven. Amazing. But he sensed that this son was going to watch everything that he was going to do, and he needed to make sure that he was careful how he lived his life. So Manoah and his wife, they understood they had to walk with God and do the things that God had. They had set apart themselves, not just set apart their son as a Nazirite, but they also had to set apart their lives for God in order for God to do everything that he wanted to do. But then we can take courage in the fact that God reveals his plans for the child. And God said, in verse 5, he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So God had already set in motion the direction that his life was to take. God saw the pain of their barrenness, and he knew the need of the nation had for deliverer, and he brought the two together. The other thing I see in all of this in parenting is there's this incredibly strong sense of faith in God. There's this dependence on God. They believed the promise. Manoah didn't, when his wife came back, didn't argue with her or fight with her and say, what do you mean this man of God came and talked to you? Over and over, Manoah has this sense of faith. It says, verse 12, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is mission? He just says, he understood that this promise of a child was from God. He trusted and believed it. And verse 17 says, and Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you. There was no unbelief. There was no Zechariah when the birth of John the Baptist, that he was struck dumb, that he wasn't able to speak. There was a faith that God had promised something and God would fulfill it. Then that faith moved this family to pray. So they inquired of the Lord what they should do. Verse 8 says, Manoah entreated the Lord. And verse 9 says, God listened to the voice of Manoah. So there's prayer that happens. And then the last paragraph is about worship. When the angel tells them, well, bring an offering to the Lord. And so they bring this offering to the Lord and they worship the Lord. And the angel goes up in the flame to heaven. And there's this fear of God that happens. So with it, I think there's a reminder of a couple things that I want to just mention. This couple parented together as a team. There seemed to be an incredible trust between them. When this woman came and said, this angel or this man of God gave me this message, Manoah trusted. He just said, this has to be from God. This is something that God has done. But now I want to see for myself. I want to hear for myself what this man of God has promised to us. So there's a deep trust, I think. When the second time when the angel comes, the scripture says the woman ran quickly and told her husband. So there's this trust. They also, I think, recognize their limits. In the closing verses, it says that the Lord blessed him and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in his life. There's some things parents can't do. There's limits that you have as parents. You cannot shape every part of this life. You cannot be there at all moments when the child is in school. You can't do those things. But this last verse where it says the Lord blessed him and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in his life, I think that to me is the completion of what your parental duty is, to allow God that work, to allow him to do that in your life, that you will hopefully, each of you, see God's blessing on your children, and you will see the Spirit of God begin to stir their hearts and lives. So that is be my prayer for you as you dedicate your children to the Lord today, and that you would experience God's goodness, and he would show you, ultimately, to bring you to a place where you will see the blessing of God and the Spirit of God stirring in their hearts and lives. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these parents in Scripture that were given the task of raising a very unique son, a son with a special promise and direction from you. Lord, where they were called to be set apart themselves. Not only would their son be set apart, but they also needed to be set apart for this calling that was on their child's life. And God, I thank you that they trusted you, they prayed to you, and you answered, they worshiped, and oh God, they saw the ultimate purpose of God fulfilled in their son, that he began to deliver your people from the Philistines. God, today I just lift up parents to you. I pray for your guidance. I pray for your wisdom. I pray, oh God, that you would help them to see where your blessing is on their children and where your Spirit is stirring their hearts. And God, that they could work together with you and see the Spirit of God stirring in the hearts of our children in greater and greater ways. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.